You know, it's such a fascinating study when we look at when did the power come on the earth. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, it was where the prophet or the priest was. That was, anointing was on that person's life. But it was isolated to that location and that person, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Now, how is it different in the New Testament, Barbara?
It's different in that each person can experience this. They don't have to go to a priest or a representative of God.
Or a temple.
Or a temple. Mm-hmm. But he is going to be teaching each one of us that we are the body. Our body is the temple of Holy Spirit, and in our body he dwells. The brand new concept, Darren. And we're seeing here that when Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went on to do great signs and wonders. And you were talking to me during this break here about the wedding in Cana, where he had his first miracle. He went on to lay hands on the blind and the lame and the sick and the demonic. And every time he touched people, Darren, miraculous things happened.
But now in the Old Testament, he had a place for his name to dwell. That's mm-hmm. where the power was. Mm-hmm. And the people had to go to that place
yes.
where the Holy of Holies was, and the priest would minister all of the things, the sacrifices and so on. But that's where the power of God would reside.
That's right. And even when Jesus was on this earth, Darren, they had to go to Jesus.
Right.
If they wanted to see a miracle, they had to go to Jesus. Now, Jesus is telling them, I'm going to go away. And he's beginning to even prepare their hearts early on to say, I'm going away, but I'm bringing someone who's going to live in you. Boy, this was totally foreign to these people.
Okay, now, there was a temple in the Old Testament where the Spirit of the Lord would reside. That's mm-hmm. where the name of the Lord was.
The Ark of the Covenant.
And I found it very, very interesting where God and Moses were having an argument because God said, you know, it was a golden calf incident, and he said, these people are odious to me. They stink, is what he was saying. And he said, I'm not going with you anymore. I'll send an angel. And Moses said, now, wait a minute. We're not departing from here unless your presence goes with us. And God says, well, okay. I will go ahead, and I will speak the name of the Lord ahead of you, Moses. Now, here, God changed his mind. This Moses got right up in God's face, as we would say today, with an attitude. He said, hey, we're not moving unless you're with us. Mm-hmm. We know that we're dead out here among all these other nations unless the presence of the Lord is with us. But the temple today, there has to be a temple, a place for the Holy Spirit to reside, a place for that anointing to reside. Make that comparison for us, Barbara. You know that well, between the temple in the Old Testament and the temple of today. Where does God dwell today?
Well, he dwells in us. And that's the name.
If we've invited him in.
That's right. And we're going to study here in the third chapter of John. And I hope all of you are turned to your Bible to the third chapter of John. We're going to see the very pivotal point of this whole Word of God. It is a new covenant. It's a new commandment where, like you were saying, in the Old Testament, they met in the temple. The Lord was in the Ark of the Covenant. His presence was in the Ark that they had built in the wilderness. That's where God traveled. His presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. But in the New Testament, and we don't even know where the Ark is nowadays. Everybody's trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. We read where the true Ark is up in heaven. In Revelation, I believe it's around the 11th chapter of Revelation, and the Lord opened up heaven for John, and he saw the Ark of the Covenant up there in heaven. So we know the true Ark of the Covenant is up in heaven. But where is this? Well, it really doesn't matter, Darren, because God has given us a new concept where our bodies are now the dwelling place of God. That's the word Emmanuel. God gave this to Jesus in Isaiah, gave this prophecy to Isaiah about Jesus, that his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us.
You know, we have so much made today of cell phones and having your personal telephone on your belt and in your purse and all this kind of stuff. But you know, not only are we the temple of the Holy Spirit, but we have a phone number. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 33:3. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things you do not know.
That's right.
Well, it's so exciting to me to say, well, where does God reside? Well, let's see. My address is 1259 First Street. Well, that's where God God's address is. Wherever you are, is what I'm saying, that's his address. He temples in you, in other words.
That's right. In Jeremiah 31, God is saying, hey, things are not working out here like I wanted them to. You people are disobedient. You just don't want to serve me. You have ears that won't listen, eyes that won't see what I have for you. And in Jeremiah 31:31, now you were quoting Jeremiah 33:3, but in Jeremiah 31 it says, behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. And we find in Ezekiel 11:19, he says, I am going to put a new spirit within you. I'm going to change your heart. Take that heart of stone that you have and give you a heart of flesh. Now, here in John 3, we see a man who is a Pharisee. Darren, he is an expert in the Old Testament. You talk about people knowing the Old Testament. These Jews knew the Old Testament. He comes to Jesus by night because he's totally intimidated. And he says, Rabbi, we know that you come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. What a man of honesty and integrity. Jesus, I believe, was touched by this man's words.
Now, why did he know that?
This Pharisee? He knew that by the very fact that he was a man of integrity. He'd read the Old Testament. He knew what to expect from God. And he saw this young 30-year-old man performing miracles that only God could perform.
But if you look in the Old Testament, the only ones that performed miracles were those that were anointed by God.
True, yes.
Elijah, Elisha.
Yes.
I mean, Moses. They had a Holy Spirit anointing of God on their lives. And that made it possible for them to perform extraordinary signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when you look at Moses, you know, when God touched his life, then he was able to do many more signs and wonders than the magicians of Egypt.
That's right.
In fact, he could put boils on the representatives of darkness.
And that's only from the anointing of God. In ourselves, there is no power.
And see, I believe that Nicodemus knew that. I believe he studied biblical history, we would say, today,
yes.
Or the Jewish history. He would say, man, the only ones that did miracles, signs and wonders, were those that were anointed by God. An ordinary man can't do these things.
That's absolutely right. And Nicodemus came to him, and Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus here is an expert. He knows everything about the Old Testament. He'd never heard this before. Born again? And he says, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? This was a totally shocking new word. And he was profoundly confused for the moment. Jesus says, now remember here verse 3, verse 5, truly, truly. When Jesus says truly, truly, this is something, it says, listen up, guys. This is a...
Or he would say in the King James, verily, verily.
Verily, this is something you got to take hold of and believe. In the 5th verse, he says, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is a profoundly new concept here. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And he talks about the wind blowing where it wishes. This is Holy Spirit. He's going to go where he wishes. There's no boundaries for him.
But he's also saying, now, we can't just think of this in physical terms.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, as we have mentioned so many times in our teaching, Jesus was speaking and operating in two worlds.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost what I call a simulcast. There's spiritual things going on. There's things going on in the natural.
That's
here.
That's right.
And Jesus was saying here, he even used the wind as an example. You can't tell where the wind is blowing. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You see the effects of it, but you can't see the wind. You know, it is a breath. It is an invisible thing.
That's right.
I tell you, I love this when he was saying, and here he puts it out very well, that which is born of flesh, something you can see, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here you can see one birth, but you can't see the other birth.
That's right. You have to take it by faith. Here's the word faith introduced. You know, I checked up on the word faith in the Old Testament, and Darren, it does not appear hardly at all. In the New Testament, it's full of the word faith. We have got to receive God's word here by faith.
Well, I like what he said to this teacher. He said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen. Now, this is still Jesus speaking. Mm-hmm. And you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things, in other words, things you can see,
that's right,
and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things?
That's
and
right.
No one has ascended into heaven but he who has descended from heaven, even the Son of Man.